views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
I hope you all are having a great Friday. We're having a thunderstorm in Seattle and rain. We've had such a dry summer, so I'm just so grateful to, and my plants, so grateful to receive the rain right now. Today, we're going to talk about spiritual telepathy, ancient techniques to access the wisdom of your soul, by author Colleen Morrow. She was the founder and editor-in-chief of Intuition Magazine. She had a lifelong interest in the untapped powers of the mind that led to the launch of Intuition Magazine in 1988. And Intuition explored the higher potential of the mind in the many and varied ways of knowing, intuition, inspiration, and telepathy, providing both research and how-to information in easy-to-read form for the general reader. And now her book is about the hidden potential of the human mind. She introduces the ancient mind training techniques that will allow you to access the wisdom and guidance of your soul. And you can check out our website at www.spiritualtelepathy.net. Well, welcome, Colleen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, first, I'm all about stories, and I want to hear your story. What brought you to be interested in spirituality, particularly intuition? That seems to be your specialty.
I was always interested in the spiritual life and in intuitive arts. And I had a really interesting experience that led to the launch of Intuition Magazine. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
It was in 1988, and I was living in San Francisco, and I had worked in alternative magazine publishing for several years, and I was between jobs. And I had been very lucky because San Francisco at that time wasn't really a place to pursue a career in magazine publishing. I had run West Coast offices for East Coast magazines like New Age Journal and the Whole Life Times. And at that point, it felt like my luck was running out. There was absolutely nothing on the horizon. And I was driving myself crazy, researching new magazines and worrying about money. And one morning, I woke up and decided that I needed to take a break. And I would treat myself to one full worry-free day outside, working in my backyard garden. And I was standing in the garden, just puttering around, when a thought suddenly flashed through my mind. And the thought was the Center for Applied Intuition. And this wasn't the familiar type of intuitive experience that I was used to. I'd always accessed intuition through my feelings or some sort of body-based sensation. This was a purely mental experience. The words seemed to have been dropped directly into my brain, and I immediately knew that it wasn't my thought, and it certainly made no logical sense. I knew about the center, and I had met Bill Kautz, the founder, and I couldn't imagine why I would be sent there to look for a magazine job. So I mulled it over for a few days, and then I thought, well, what the heck? And I called him up, and I asked him to send me some information about the center's activities. And a few days later, a big manila envelope arrived. After I dumped it out, there were several brochures and a very simple typewritten journal called Applied Psi. And this was the quarterly publication that he sent to the center's 200 members. The journal was about intuition and creativity, and I found it fascinating. As I flipped through the pages, I suddenly had an idea that with a new name and a different upgraded format, it could be a real magazine, and it would be one that would appeal to an audience far beyond the center's small membership. So I called Bill, made an appointment to talk with him, and as it turned out, he had always dreamed of turning Applied Psi into a real magazine, but the right person had never come along. So I went home, banged out a proposal, and came back the next day, and Intuition, a magazine for the higher potential of mind, was suddenly born. And from the start, it was my baby. The center had only two rooms, so I set up shop at my dining room table. I begged my writer friends to contribute articles. I sold advertising space to pay for the printing and set up a local distribution network. And I trucked them around in my car. And they all sold within a week, so I knew that I was onto something. And so then I set up a national newsstand distribution network and started work on the second issue. And about that time, Bill decided to close the center, and he signed the rights to the magazine over to me. And I later received a grant and set up an office and hired a staff. And when I think about it now, there's two remarkable things about this story. One is I never could have gotten there through the rational mind. I'd always dreamed of starting a magazine, but I couldn't have imagined that I would be a candidate at that point when I was worried about paying the rent. And I also couldn't have seen that in the next decade there would be a flood of information on intuition, and the magazine provided a focal point for that. I was just putting one foot in front of the other and doing what was right in front of me. And there's a great esoteric saying that we only need to know our next step. And so I think this is a good illustration of that, that I couldn't have seen the bigger picture, but it just unfolded in its own time.
Yes, it's always amazing how that happens. Woman Wisdom is a very similar story in that you get those messages and you have to be, you're out gardening. You have to be in a clear state of mind to receive that information. Mm-hmm. And then to act on it is like to know there's something here for me to listen to. So it's about paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Right. I could have just ignored it
with our intuition.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have just ignored it because it didn't make sense. But, yeah. You know, it was such a profound experience. It was sort of like a foreign object or something in my brain. I knew immediately it wasn't my thought that I really felt like I should follow up on it, even though it didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. And so... And the magazine lasted how many years? You were had quite a few years with the magazine.
Yeah, it lasted until 2000.
Yes, yeah. So, and now you have the book Spiritual Telepathy. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that, and particularly, you know, how you define that term, a spiritual telepathy.
Okay. Spiritual telepathy is communication from the subtle worlds. When we practice spiritual telepathy, we have the ability to be in direct communication with our souls. And communication from that level is always telepathic. We don't audibly hear the information. The information is just dropped into our brains in the same way it was in that story. And I see this as a more advanced form of spiritual perception. Some call it the higher correspondence to our personal intuition. Our personal intuition provides guidance about our day-to-day lives, but the soul knows our higher purpose and can help us understand the bigger picture. It's our highest and most reliable source of direction and guidance. And through the soul, we actually have access to even higher worlds, to the universal or divine mind, where information on all subjects can be found.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the reason for creating this book?
Well, I was introduced to the subject, and I was just captured by it. And I saw immediately that it was the next step to the intuition work that I had done. And I spent years studying it and really felt like I needed to get this out, that it was the next step, that it's a really profound evolutionary step, too, that when we make contact with the soul, we take our first steps into the subtle worlds, and we move from strictly human to superhuman development, that it is an evolutionary step, and it's something that is going to happen over time to everybody, but we can be the pioneers now. There's a mind-training process that will allow us to do it now.
Yes, and your book goes into a lot of steps with that. There's a lot of meditation practices, and we're going to go into that later on in the interview. But you talk about, like in the title, talks about ancient techniques and, mm-hmm. and ageless wisdom. So mm-hmm. where did this come from? For you to write about it, you know, where did this these teachings originate from?
Well, the ageless wisdom is really the core teaching that exists at the heart of all religions. And it was once taught in ancient mystery schools and given only to initiates, people that were thought to be ready for it. It was taught in the mystery schools in Egypt, Greece, Babylon, and India. And it was first put into book form by the Hindu sage Patanjali in his book, The Yoga Sutras. And I read a lot of Alice Bailey and other theosophical writers. So I got the basics there, and then I kind of branched out to look at how it was explained in different spiritual traditions. And it was fascinating to me because the core teaching was the same over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So there's this connection between kind of all the religions or spiritual trainings. There it goes back to some core wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And it's about how we train the mind to access these higher worlds, how we use the mind as our tool that allows us to enter the higher worlds.
Were these secret before, way back, sort of secret societies that kind of kept this knowledge, and now it's kind of more open, available to people?
Mm-hmm. Helena Blavatsky in her book, The Secret Doctrine, and Alice Bailey in her long series, that was really the first time the Ageless Wisdom teachings were presented to the public. It was a secret teaching for many, many, many centuries.
Yeah, and it's time. It's time that it, you know, we're ready for it. It's available, and it should be available to everybody. And that sense of it was secret was kind of like, oh, that old sense of religion where only the priests or only the ministers, you have to get to God through them. Mm-hmm. Versus now, we're in our religious. Our spirituality is a more individual. We can access. It's known. We can access this directly. We don't need to do it through somebody else. Well, this is Christina from Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Colleen Morrow.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engage some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Would you like to be a question with anything that comes up in your body or mind? Would you like to become totally aware and begin to function as the conscious being you truly are? Join Access Certified Facilitator Glenna Rice every month for a live teleclass where you can ask all of your questions and learn to create change in any aspect of your life. Visit GlennaRice.com today to learn more and don't miss the next call. Join the questionable conversation today at GlennaRice.com.
Siegel, co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
1230 WBLQ. Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and today I'm talking with author Colleen Morrow. Her book is Spiritual Telepathy, Ancient Techniques to Access the Wisdom of Your Soul. So we were talking about these wisdom teachings, these ancient teachings. Let's talk a little bit about what you consider be the, you know, key principles in these wisdom teachings?
Well, the key practice is called creative meditation. And this meditation goes a step further than most meditations that focus on just quieting the mind. In this type of meditation, we actually train the mind to transmit information from the soul to the brain. And the information has to reach the brain to become part of our conscious awareness. And in the same way that our homes are wired for telephone and internet connection, this type of meditation allows us to create the threads and cables that will link us to the higher worlds. And we do this by projecting our attention upward to the soul day after day. We visualize the soul as a star about 6 inches above our head. And as we do this day after day, we anchor small threads of energy that eventually form a symbolic bridge between the mind, the brain, and the soul. The bridge is called the Rainbow Bridge in the wisdom teachings. It's called the Antahkarana in the Hindu text, and it's called the Straight or Narrow Gate in the New Testament.
Okay, so we're bridging, linking ourselves to this, and I know you talked about this sort of this vertical access, you know, to mm-hmm. that higher knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so some of these meditation techniques are in your book. Can you give an example?
Of how to actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first, there's actually 12 meditations in the book, and 8 are personal development and 4 are service-oriented. And there are 3 mind training exercises that build one upon the other. And the first one is the basic form of creative meditation called Raja Yoga Meditation in the Yoga Sutras. And basically what we're doing is we're projecting our attention upward and we're holding it at the soul level. And we do this with the use of a seed thought. It can be a sentence, a word, or a symbol. And we stay focused on that particular thought or symbol for 5 to 10 to 15 minutes. And what we're doing is we're training the mind to hold a focus where we want it to be. We're making the mind a tool, our servant rather than our master. Patanjali says that we have to be able to focus on an external object before we can focus it in the subtle worlds. So we're training the mind. It's the first step in all spiritual traditions, this basic mind training. We're training the mind to hold a focus of attention. And what we're doing is we're quieting the lower mind and we're creating a channel for the information to reach from the soul to the brain. If there's any static, emotional or mental static, if we're fatigued or have an illness, then the information doesn't get through. And the mind training is the very first step.
So, like I said, it's training the mind to focus. So give us an example. You mentioned seed thought. Give us an example mm-hmm. of what a seed thought would be.
Well, we use sentences. Like, for example, I live by the light of my soul. We'll use that as an example. And we'll hold the focus on that sentence. And we'll look at it from all angles and try to understand the deeper meaning. And so we're keeping our mind engaged on one focused point. And we're also, in trying to understand it at a deeper level, we're training our minds to think more abstractly. And when we can think more abstractly, our minds become similar in vibration to the higher worlds, and it'll make it easier for us to then access information. So the way we do it, I belong to an esoteric school, the Arcane School, and they give us meditations and say 6 seed thoughts, and they're all sentences, and we use one per month and just stay on that and try to understand the deeper meaning. I sometimes find it boring, but I'm also sometimes surprised when I'm meditating and I can find an aspect of it that I didn't see before.
And so what is your steps event? How do you recommend people, if they're new to meditation, how they can start meditating?
Well, I have a section in the book called Refining the Mental, Emotional, and Physical Bodies. And that's the place that we all need to start, because, again, we have to purify the body and quiet our minds and emotions to create this channel of information to be able to reach the soul to the brain. And refinement practices are part of all spiritual traditions. The methods vary, but the requirements and goals are exactly the same. It's purity of body, control of the emotions, and stability of mind. And in the book, I have a lot of refinement practices. I included the ones that helped me the most. I had a lot of problem with this and really had to work at it. When I got really serious about sitting down and quieting my mind, I discovered I had a lot of buried emotional issues that just came bubbling up, and that's very common. Jack Kornfield discovered that when he first started teaching meditation, that he said that fully half of his students couldn't master the basic meditation practices because they had so much unresolved emotional issues. So I worked with a spiritual healer named Stephen Lumiere, and he gave me meditations to do, one on forgiveness, which was a really big thing for me, one on compassion and one for on loving kindness. And I did those daily for quite a while, and I started to be able to forgive and just started to quiet down my emotional body. And it was really at that point that I was able to do these meditations. So there's a lot of practices in that chapter about how to raise the vibration of our physical bodies, how to eat in a way that raises the vibration, how to calm down our emotional natures, and how to start training the mind. There's some really basic focusing exercises in that chapter that people can do before they actually start the meditation.
Mm-hmm. So it's giving yourself that time to refine. You mentioned the word refinement, you know, paying attention to the physical issues in our life, the emotional and the mental, which, as you said, you know, they get in the way of things. If our, you know, meditating and you're always thinking about, you're thinking about what are you supposed to be doing, you know, in the next hour or tomorrow, and worrying about other things. And like you said, emotional. I love how you talked about, you know, one of the practices that you needed to work on was forgiveness. I think that's true for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And particularly forgiving ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
huge
big
for
use
me.
Of the word.
Huge.
Yeah.
Because I really couldn't settle myself down until I really worked on forgiveness, and that was never my strong point. I always thought that I would be condoning somebody else's behavior, but it really is just a gift that we give ourselves. And he gave me a couple of meditations, including one that I put in the book called Standing in Their Shoes. And it's a way that in meditation we imagine that we're standing in the person's shoes that we need to forgive and looking at the world through their eyes. And we get a sense of why they act the way they do, what forces are at work in their lives that cause them to act the way they do, and it makes it easier to forgive. And another thing that was very helpful to me is that I went to the library one day when I was frustrated about this issue, and I checked out every book on forgiveness that I could find. And one of the best ones was called Forgiveness is a Choice. And in this, Robert Enright makes a very important point that we can't really forgive somebody until we can feel compassion for them. And that's not something I'd ever thought about. And that changed everything for me. That really, really helped. And at last, I was able to forgive. And there were also a few people that I decided to let go of that were creating a lot of static in my life and that things couldn't be worked out. So I think we do have to do that sometimes.
Yes. And that dimension, I love you used to talk about, you know, having the compassion, walking in someone else's shoes. And so often we stand in our position and stand firm in our position, you know, I'm right, they're wrong. And to just remember that, you know, to have some compassion and think about what that person is going through, what they're walking with, and to be curious. We talk a lot about that, of being having the curiosity to ask what they're saying, why that's true for them, why they're saying it. Just be curious. And that kind of gets you out of that critical, judgmental mind.
Well, one thing that was amazing to me, and it was like a light bulb going off over my head, when I did this practice with a particular person, the person that I had the hardest time forgiving, I realized that if I had her exact same circumstances, exactly what she experienced, that I probably would act the same way, that she was doing the only thing she could do, that she was doing the very best she could do given her circumstances. And that really just kind of evaporated the last of the anger that I had towards her. It was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, now what's the connection between what we're talking about here with refining our physical, emotional, mental bodies and meditating to the telepathy?
Well, it starts there. We can't really settle ourselves down enough to really meditate deeply unless we've done that refinement, and so that we don't have a lot of stuff bubbling up and distracting us. Emotional static especially will repel information from the subtle levels, that we have to have this clear, straight channel from the soul to the brain. And that's what we need to do first, and then we need to start the mind training practices so we can quiet ourselves down and hold that point of focus, because we're going to need to be able to focus in the subtle levels, but we can't do it again until we can focus in the physical level.
Mm-hmm. And you say there's three types of telepathy.
Mm-hmm. The three types of telepathy are instinctive telepathy, and this type of telepathy we share with the animal kingdom. It's our gut feelings. The second is mind-to-mind telepathy, and the third is spiritual telepathy. That's the highest. And interesting thing about this teaching is that it shows how our perceptual abilities progress, that we start with the instinct of cavemen, and then it moves to the rational knowing of modern man and the pure intuitive knowing of future man. And we're right at that doorway where we can take that step into that new higher human.
Future human, the higher, yeah. Well, we're going to, so that's what you're talking about with the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the sense that, use the word, you know, what comes to mind is purity, being in that place of purity. Next week, I'm interviewing somebody who'll be on the air. Already recorded because I'm going to be away, but she talks about purity for having a place, having paradise here, you know, mm-hmm. and creating that purity. Well, this is Chris Danis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We're going to come back and talk more with Colleen Morrow all about this subject.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Clairvoyance, a gift few have.
And even fewer match the powers of one of America's best.
Dr. Linda Salvin. Dr. Linda's uncanny ability drills to the core of your issues to bring you quick and accurate answers and predictions. In more than two decades, Dr. Linda has helped over 75,000 people.
On national radio, by phone, in person.
When you need answers, Dr. Linda makes it clear. Book your time with this legendary seer now. Click on lindasalvin.com.
Or call 888-509-1077.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. This inspiring show will help you never feel helpless in life or love ever again. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
1230 WBLQ. Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Colleen Morrow about her book, Spiritual Telepathy, Ancient Techniques to Access the Wisdom of Your Soul. So, Colleen, can you give... your contact information, how people can reach you, your website, how they can buy your book, all that.
It's www.spiritualtelepathy.net. They can see back issues of Intuition Magazine there and read the introduction to the book. And there's a direct link from to Amazon where they can buy the book.
Okay, great. Yeah. So, I encourage people to get the book because there's a lot of meditative practices in it. So you can learn a lot. You know, sometimes people just talk about meditation and, you know, still leaves you with, well, how do I do it? And you really kind of go, in a way, step by step. Because as you said, I forget how many you say, how many meditation practices you have in the book.
I have eight personal development meditations and then four for service.
Yes. And we're going to get it. I'm going to talk later about service. And you talked about the seed thoughts. So I want to go a little bit more into, you did mention about how we're in this evolutionary leap, which you say even it's as profound as our emergence from animal to human. Mm-hmm. So let's get a little bit into that. You know, where do you think people are going? And I'm assuming an avenue to get there is through this. These techniques mm-hmm. to access the wisdom of your soul. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more.
Well, the soul, as I said, is our first step into the subtle worlds, that our evolutionary journey extends into the subtle realms too, not just the human worlds, but we become, as Jesus said in the Bible, we do what he does and we become like gods. So we have the ability to develop those same sorts of abilities that he had. And why this is so important now, I think, is because when we make contact with our souls, everything changes. We lose our sense of separateness, and we realize that we're part of one great universal life, the soul of humanity. And we find our place within that greater whole and experience our interconnection with all life. And you can imagine how the world would change if a critical mass of people made this shift. Barbara Mark Hubbard has talked about those of us on Earth today being the crossover generation responsible for leading the way from one stage of our species evolution to the next. And Eckhart Tolle talks about this too, but in more stark terms. He writes that as a species, we have the choice to evolve or die. They both say that evolution happens as the result of some sort of crisis that propels or forces us to make a leap forward. Tolle uses the example of an amphibian who is forced to develop the ability to live on land after its habitat dries up. And our own habitat is in trouble, and we're faced with the same need now. Our world is full of conflicts. We have loose nukes floating around. These weapons can easily extinguish the human race. So we need to make that next step, not onto land, but into the subtle worlds, where we do understand that we are all interconnected.
Mm-hmm. So, and you talked about before, we're training the mind, and mm-hmm. it's like an internal search engine. So,
right.
We're vertically extending instead of, you know, so much, but it's still an inward journey. I mean, so much out there, we're trained to, you know, look at the external, to get our life and our, who we are validated by looking at the external. And now, you know, there's a lot of talk in spiritual work. It's that inward journey, reflecting the internal. And as you clear out, as you said, you know, your mental, emotional, physical issues, that's the internal work, your outside world is going to reflect that refinement, that mm-hmm. clarity of who you are. And so you talk about this vertical registration of mm-hmm. downloading this information directly. So what do you think that is? I guess I'm just wondering how that will shift humanity. And how it's shifted you.
Well, it's, again, that contact with the soul makes us realize that we're all interconnected. So you can imagine how hard it would be to wage war, you know, be like waging war on yourself or your closest family member. And there's something in the Bible that says that we take heaven by storm. And it's our determination that the daily practice of lifting our attention upward to the soul that eventually opens the door to the higher worlds. And when we approach the soul, we come under the influence of its higher vibration, and our own vibratory rate starts to speed up. And when the vibratory rate of our mind and soul the mind and brain matches that of the soul, we can then enter the higher worlds at will. And it's our repeated contact with those higher worlds, with the soul, that in the end produces a new type of human, the soul-aligned human being. And this is the next stage of our evolution, and those of us who do this now are the pioneers.
It just made me think. How many people do you think are right now the pioneers?
I don't know. I think there's more and more.
Yeah.
I've been watching the Shift Network and all the people that sign up for those programs. There's a 250,000 people so far, and it's still pretty new, and they're all over the world.
Mm-hmm. A 250,000, but there's 7 billion people in the world.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty new.
I wonder how we're going to reach, how the shift, and maybe it's like the 100th monkey. If enough of a shift, it's going to impact the rest of humanity. I think that's exactly what we're hoping for.
Yeah. We're like Christopher Columbus and Magellan and the other explorers who set off to find a new world. They explored the physical world. We can be the explorers of the subtle worlds, and we can create maps that other people can follow. Each of us who do this makes it easier for the people that follow in exactly that way that you talked, the morphic field, as Sheldrick says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we're carving that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people that do that, and the deeper we go, the better we get at it, the more others can access it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's also something about the in your book about genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that's really interesting to talk about. When I was researching this book, I went back and I looked at one of my all-time favorite books, which was A Higher Creativity, written by the late Willis Harmon, who was the director of the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And in this book, he looked at the biographies of many artists, writers, composers, and scientists, and discovered that their greatest achievements came from an intuitive breakthrough. And I went back and I read his original sources and the full text of some of these interviews. And what I discovered is that many of the people we call geniuses were talking about their creative process in exactly the way it's explained in the wisdom teachings, that it's through the soul that they had access to the universal or divine mind, and that once they made that contact, the information just flowed into their brains. And it was fascinating to see the consistency of their experience. I read the same thing over and over. So it made me think that genius is not a rare and random event. It's just this ability to contact the higher worlds. And that's something that's in our power. We all have that ability through this training.
Mm-hmm. And so what little piece of it about contacting your soul that can help people understand how to do that? I mean, you know, we know, and what you're saying, that meditation is that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like something more, like, you know, and I always get confused when people do definitions of spirit and soul and the difference between those two.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that the soul is personal. It's our individual repository of all the lifetimes of our experience, and the spirit is universal. And at this stage of our evolution, we're making that contact with the soul. But once we do that, then we go higher. And when we do that, then the soul disappears, and we become just one with everything.
Okay, and that's and I imagine that's hard to picture for people.
Yeah, that's a pretty advanced step. The next step for us is this bridge to the soul. That's mm-hmm. sort of where we are in our evolutionary process. And like I said, I think we only need to know what our next step is. It can be daunting if we try to think about the whole big picture.
Yeah, yeah. And to think of soul as like it's bigger than who I am right now in my physical body. This time around, who I am, it encompasses the greater part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you said all our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this also connects with how, in connecting with a soul, that we can get in touch with our life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that?
Well, the soul knows our higher purpose, and it understands the bigger picture for our lives. So in making that connection, we do have access to higher wisdom and guidance about our lives. Again, the personal intuition really is about our sort of small self, our day-to-day lives, but the soul knows the bigger picture. And so it becomes very clear what our higher purpose is. And I think that's part of the motivation for people, that people have a longing to know that and to participate and to serve. It's said that one of the first indications of soul contact is the desire to serve, because again, we do realize that we're part of one life, one soul, and we stop thinking about our individual life so much and thinking about what we can do for others.
Yes, I want to go more into that in our next segment, you know, finding our purpose and becoming, you have a whole chapter on becoming a world server. Well, this is Chris Danis on Voices of Women, and we'll be right back and talk more with Colleen Morrow.
Are you feeling broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune in to the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community. Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
1230 WBLQ.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Colleen Morrow. And Colleen, we've been talking a lot about this meditation practice. So I would love for you to talk about your daily practice and then how that has changed your life.
Well, it was a real struggle for me, and I wrote about that in the book. And as I mentioned, I outed myself as a slug who doesn't want to get out of bed because I'm not a morning person. And I like to wake up slowly, and I like to have quiet, slow mornings. And for most of my life, I was involved with magazine publishing, and I was always on deadline. I had to hit the ground running as soon as the alarm went off. And while I was writing this book, I finally had a period where I could honor my own natural rhythms. And I wanted to just get up and enjoy my morning and then meditate. And what I discovered is that my nice, lovely, leisurely morning just gave me too much time to think about the day ahead. And so when I, so settle down to meditate, my brain was already too activated and it was a struggle. The best thing is to meditate as soon as you get out of bed. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to have to jump out of bed as soon as I opened my eyes like I had done for so many years. I tried everything and finally found something that worked for me and allows me to be consistent. And I sort of joke in the book that it would get me thrown out of any ashram in the world, but it works for me. Well, after I wake up, I spend about 20 minutes in bed reading the newspaper. And I read everything, and it doesn't really register because I'm not completely awake. But during those 20 minutes allows me to slowly wake up, and then I do it before I do anything else. And giving myself that extra time has made all the difference. I know from long experience that if I force myself to do something I don't want to do, it'll last for a month at the most, and then I won't do it at all. So I think people have to find something that works for them, and they have to have a balance between honoring what they want to do and what they need to do. So doing that morning newspaper reading is what has allowed me to be consistent. And it's really the consistency that counts, unfortunately. It's not a very exciting message. But what we're doing is we're building this energetic bridge day after day, and we're extending these threads little by little. And when we stop, even for a few days, it starts to dissipate, and then we have to start building it again. So it's really a consistent practice that makes the difference.
Well, what do? So you read the newspaper. You're not quite awake yet. When do you then meditate after that?
Yeah, always. I don't do anything. I just go to my meditation space and meditate. That's sort of my deal with myself, that I can read the paper and just kind of space out and wake up slowly, and then I have to do it.
And how long did it take you to train yourself to be consistent to do that?
Oh, months, maybe a year. I went through everything. I tried meditating at night, and that didn't work, and I tried all kinds of different things. I forced myself to meditate as soon as I woke up for a while, and, you know, after a while, I rebelled. So I tried all kinds of different things. You know, I'd make my tea first. I tried everything to get out of, you know, having to get up earlier than I wanted to, and finally found that balance that works for me.
Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, for me, if I don't get to the gym, if I don't exercise first, my day just carries itself away.
Yeah.
And it would be the same with meditation. Mm-hmm. That's important. And is there a reason, like, to start your day with that? I mean, maybe some people meditate better at night.
Well, the recommendation is to do it in the morning before your brain gets activated, because the brain starts to vibrate with everything that it needs to think about. The brain is the most quiet first thing in the morning, and it's easier to quiet yourself down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at night, it could be different kind of meditation. Like night, I know a lot of people do like gratitude journals,
right,
or forgiveness journals of writing, you know, what were you grateful for that day,
mm-hmm,
which is another form of meditation, but not the same thing. Like in the morning, the meditation is kind of like setting the tone for the day, you know.
But here's one thing that I have experienced. Is that at first it was homework, and I had to do it, and I didn't want to, and, you know, I knew that I had to do it myself if I was going to write about it. And once we start getting even a little bit of the experience of soul contact, we want more, and it starts to seem less arduous. It becomes something more that we want to do. I mean, it's easier not to do it, of course, but we have some experiences that are so lovely that we want more of it.
Yes, that's true. And at first it's like being consistent, but it's on the discipline of making yourself to do it, mm-hmm, until then it becomes like you can't not do it.
Right. It feels weird to me now. If I start my day without meditation, and it happens once in a while, I feel like I haven't brushed my teeth, you know, and I just feel off and, you know, like I didn't really properly prepare myself for the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking, we did mention this chapter on Become a World Server, mm-hmm, and it's all about service and philanthropy. So I would love for you to share a little more on that, because I think that's an important aspect of our spiritual growth right now.
Mm-hmm. As I said, when we make contact with the soul, the first indication is a desire to serve, and that we each of us have a unique contribution to the world, and at this very critical stage, we're really all needed. And one aspect of the awakening soul that we can see is the focus on philanthropy. It's getting more widespread. The movie stars are, you know, on our nightly news trying to bring awareness to particular things. But each of us has something that we have to do, and contacting the soul really does put us in touch with that. And there's nothing that's more satisfying. And I have a meditation on how to find your path of service and a lot of stories about people who have. And one of the things I wanted to do in this book is to have a lot of real-world experiences, because a lot of this usually is presented in just theory. And, you know, you have to read it and understand it. But I wanted to inspire people by showing them what the real-world experience is, how it does change us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of stories in that chapter.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And it's important. And it's important to hear other people's stories. I mean, I think one of the things is it gives us hope. It gives us a template to hear mm-hmm. other people's stories and then relate to it. Like mm-hmm. a lot of times we, you know, what I find is women particularly can feel very isolated, and they feel like they're the only one experiencing this. And when you read other people's stories, you realize you're not alone.
Right.
Well, it's so great to have you on the show today, and I really encourage people to get your book, one, because there are the meditation practices, as you said, in the book, and so it can be a real step-by-step guide to connect with your soul, to connect to that greater mind and that genius in you, so that you can discover your what is your gift, what is your service that you're, because I think a lot of people are in that boat. Some people know it, what it's mm-hmm. to be, and other people are kind of what is it I'm supposed to do, what are my gifts, right. And meditation is an avenue that can happen.
I agree.
Yes. So thanks so much. And again, you can check out Colleen's work on her website, www.spiritualtelepathy.net. So I'm Chris Stanis, founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. We still have openings to, if you're interested in sending us a proposal for a workshop, we need to receive as soon as possible. We just have some extensions for our 24th annual conference. It's February 11th to the 15th. Just email us for information. Wow, W-O-W at womenofwisdom.org. All the forms are up on our website. Just go to womenofwisdom.org 2016 conference, and you can find the information, the application forms. But just email us that you're going to send one and you need an extension. We're beginning work now to review all these wonderful proposals that we're getting. And we're a very experiential conference, and so minimally we have three-hour workshops and lots of very fun activities. Also, check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's an inspirational book. It's kind of based on the conference. Many of our attendees, artists, and there's art and poetry in the book, and some of our speakers, their talks, great talks over the years is in the book. And so it's an exploration of the divine feminine from many different voices. And also, if you're interested in what we do is circle leadership training, we are having a retreat October 1st through the 4th. It's in Gold Bar, Washington. Contact us again for information about that. We teach and run the organization in circle leadership, and we teach this model. It's a new paradigm of how to even run your organization or run your life using a circle model. So this is Chris Stanis. So glad you could be on the show with me on the show today. And next week, I actually have two shows. And next week, Tuesday at 10 a.m., I'll be interviewing Lisa Garr. And that's going to be a great show, and my regular show on Friday. Okay, thanks. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stanis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stanis.